The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Tēnā koutou katoa no mai haeremai ki Dietary Requirements, the Spinoff's food podcast. Every fortnight we get together to talk about the cultural, social and political role of food in Aotearoa, and we get to break bread with some of the buzziest people in the local hospitality scene. Ko Simon Day Takawingawa, and I'm joined today by Spinoff food editor Alice Neville. Kia ora, Alice.
Kia ora, Simon.
Food boss, entrepreneur, shawarma carver, Sophie Gilmore. Kia ora, Sophie.
Kia ora, Simon.
And from Hobart, we're being joined by Visa Wellington on a plate, program manager Beth Brash. Kia ora, Beth.
Kia ora. Or should I say, g'day, mate.
Hey.
That was a pre-prepared joke that Beth's already used in email with me.
That's right. I've used it a lot in emails, I'll tell you what.
G'day, Beth.
How are you? Mate. Are you okay? Beth is trapped in COVID-infested Australia, even though Tasmania hasn't had a case since when?
May last year, yeah.
We're not here to talk about the politics of COVID-19, but we have deep sympathy for you, Beth, but it's a pretty good place to be trapped, right?
It's not the worst, to be honest. Yeah, it's a great city, and so I had been here for 10 days, so I was over here for Dark Mofo, and then due to fly out on Sunday, and 14 hours before I was jumping on a plane, they locked me out, so here I am.
That was going to be my question. Was it a work-related trip?
Look, I sort of feel like when you work in food and events, everything's work, but
business
no.
and I pleasure. Went,
I, everything's tax deductible, right?
Well, yeah. No. I was here on a holiday. I was here for pleasure, but you know, it's the things I like. You know, so there's always nice. Crossover. And actually, hilariously, I really liked lots of things with their ticketing system and stuff. So I've already been in touch with them since I've been here. So there's always work to do.
Awesome.
So the reason Beth is joining us is because we're really excited to be partnering with Visa Wellington on a plate to promote a festival that I desperately love. I think it's one of the coolest things that happens in food every year in New Zealand. And because after much begging and persistence, Dietary Requirements is officially on the program. August 15, a live podcast at the Parrot Dog Brewery out in Lyle Bay. Come and see us in the flesh. We're very pretty as well as having wonderful radio voices. And thank you so much for having us, Beth.
I can attest to that, the prettiness.
I thought you were going to say you can attest to the begging and pushiness.
I can also attest to that.
Simon.
So it's been a really interesting time for the hospitality sector as a whole, a really tough time with the pressures of COVID-19. And Wellington on a Plate really felt that last year and was initially postponed and then sort of reconfigured its whole program and sort of vibe and became what I thought was a really appropriate opportunity, a local-only festival, a really important opportunity to invest in our amazing local people. What was it like last year, Beth? How did you cope, respond, sort of manage the pressure as everything unfolded with the pandemic?
Yeah, there was moments of shock. So just as we were going into lockdown, the day before we had sent out, you know, emails to everyone saying, hey, yep, you're in. Or so we kind of knew exactly what the festival was going to look like. And then, as it was really clear, you know, we were going from level 3 to 4, that sort of time, I just sent everyone an email and just sort of said, put us at the bottom of your to-do list. Don't worry about us. You've got so much to worry about. Well, you know, you've got so much to do, so much on your plate. We'll be back. We'll work it out. But right now, just focus on surviving and getting through this. And so it was a really weird time. And I think for the first 2 weeks of lockdown, there wasn't a lot to do. And it was quite scary whether we would even be able to do anything. But I don't know if you all felt this, but it really felt like it was sort of like 2 weeks in after Easter, and then, you know, the cases were going down and it was really clear we were going to come out of this and, you know, that we weren't going to be in lockdown forever. And that's just when we just kicked into overdrive, and it was really exciting. And initially the kind of recovery side it didn't have anything to do with the festival at all. And we just flipped our website to become At Yours, which was a one-stop shop for all the like level 3 sort of takeaways and click and collect, that sort of thing. So that was pretty exciting. And then when it was really clear, sort of moving then from, I think from like sort of 2 to 1, and we're just like, oh, we can do this. And so we just kind of started the train again, I guess. Like, it was just kind of cranked it back up. And I mean, it was hard. It was really hard and exhausting doing what we typically do, I think, in 8 months, and sort of having to do it in sort of four. So, it was just about, it was about recovery, and everyone was just amped for it. And we just had such a successful festival. I mean, ticket sales were better than 2019 when we, you know, as you would know, Simon, like when we had sort of these rock star chefs and stuff coming through. So,
and because the festival was born out of the idea of providing the industry extra support during quiet months. That's sort of the basis of where it came from, and has become even, you know, so much bigger than that. But this felt like the festival doing its job in its most purest sense. And
yeah, it was this return to origin. Started 13 years ago, and it was August was a really dead time. And Sarah Meikle, my boss, festival director, she was given the task of fixing August for hospitality, which is no small job. And you would argue that, yeah, she nailed it. That KPI has been ticked, because now August for Wellington is the second busiest, second only to just before Christmas, you know, like hospo part, Christmas parties and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and so. I've heard restaurateurs say the opposite, that they're busier during the festival than they are in Christmas sometimes. Wow. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's such an amazing time.
And so looking to this year, how is the festival different from its usual programming? Is it still a really local focus?
Yeah, we did want to keep that local focus. And even we do have 3 people coming over from Australia, touch wood. So we always bring over Morgan McGlone from Bell's Hot Chicken to launch the festival. Got Annalise Gregory from Tasmania. So she's coming over to do a foraging event with Hillside and Palisa Anderson from Boone Cafe Chart Thai in Sydney. And they were sort of, they're kind of last minute additions once the bubble opened. But again, they all have New Zealand connections. So Palisa's husband's from Porirua, and, you know, like they all either have connections or are from New Zealand themselves. So, yeah, we did want to still keep it very locally focused.
And Annalise's father's Mark Gregory. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. Mark's my co-chair of Dine Aid. he started the Donate Charitable Trust and was recently showing me some photos of how proud he was of his daughter. Aww. It's awesome. And he owns Restaurant Hub as well. So there's heaps of New Zealand connection.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and what was it, last year, I mean, the people that we had, the international chefs that we had that were going to come down for 2020, I mean, they were phenomenal, and it's very exciting. All of them are ready and waiting to come back.
I was going to say, can you tell us? Year.
No,
I've tried.
No,
I've tried to get the tea on this a number of times, but
yeah,
I'm almost excited to wait for the surprise whenever it's available to be rolled out.
Will they be as relevant, as hot, and I guess as sought after?
Yeah, I just think someone said to me the other day, they're like, New Zealand stocks are high. You know, outside of New Zealand, like everyone is just fizzing to come here. So I think even those that we had that really want to come here. But I just feel, you know, we'll probably get the pick of the crop. But
awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. But, you know, again, it's this year, and ticket sales for the events that we've had have just been ridiculously good. And I'm just so proud of the festival this year. I just think it's the strongest it's ever been. And, you know, that's so interesting for me in terms of, you know, like I don't want us every year to just be focusing on these international chefs that are coming here, because there is so much going on
here. That's quite a compliment to you, though. People are obviously confident in the program direction, whether or not it includes those people. People are up for looking for something to do, and they trust you that it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no, that's very nice. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's good. It is. I think what was cool last year is we, just in terms of marketing and you know, it was moving so quickly and tickets going on sale, and we didn't have as much marketing spend around tickets on sale as we typically did. And it's these kind of experiments that you would never run outside of, you know, just a typical year. But the ticket sales were, you know, exactly the same, if not better. And so that to me says we have this really loyal following that, that are going to buy the tickets regardless. And
Are you guys keen for a new KPI? If you could maybe turn hospitality into a seriously regarded profession in New Zealand, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Next year.
That's absolutely part of what the festival can do, and what I love about Wellington on a Plate is it's not just special menus or burgers or cocktails. There's really big conversations about sustainable seafood, about foraging, about the role of tikanga Māori in the future of New Zealand's food identity. And I think that's what makes it special. It's high-low culture at its best. I've been to with Beth, I believe, a really fun wine tasting session with Yvonne Lorcan that was all, what era was it, 90s?
Oh, the 80s. The 80s power lunches.
It was power lunches with shoulder pads and square ties and
awesome.
And it's fun and it's silly, and then it's really serious and smart as well. And there's something for everyone, which I guess leads to the question that I was going to ask next, Beth, is how do you program such a big event? What are you thinking about to get that balance over a whole month, and what does your R&D look like? Because it must be quite fun sometimes.
It's interesting. I think so first of all, it's kind of this balance, and so I don't I don't say this is the type of event that we want. Like, we'd have an application process. So it's this really, you know, like I'm talking to restaurants now, you know, they've always got ideas. As soon as they've got their application in for this year, they're thinking about next year. And it's just kind of massaging those conversations over the year. So, but, you know, on, what was it, like March the 3rd at, so the application's, they close at midnight, and honestly, I mean, it's got better, but really we don't really get most of the applications in until like half an hour before, and then they just start like streaming in. Yeah, and then that next day, it's really exciting because it's just, you have no idea what some of these, like what some of these events will be. You know, I feel like I know everything that's going on, and then suddenly there's just all these new events that I hadn't talked to, you know, somebody about, or, you know, they just put it in last minute. It's just this like, you know, 5 minutes before midnight idea, and they just kind of put it in.
So is it more like you curate it rather than create it? When the events come through, you sort of go, yeah, that sounds good, but maybe a bit more this way, or...
Yes, yeah, exactly. And but then what's been really interesting is, so over the last sort of 5 years, I think, we have brought in a theme. And that theme, you know, the first few years, the theme was kind of brought in more from a, like, kind of a promotional marketing point of view. But what we found, and it was that actually this really sort of dictates the kind of events that we get to see. So last year the theme was Common Ground, and we came up with that pre-COVID, you know, but then to have that theme and the kind of events that we wanted to see, which was, you know, more community based and, you know, that sort of kaupapa, was so perfect for last year. And then likewise for this year, the theme is out of place, and, you know, you've got I think it really just, people just have so much fun with it. And that's what we've always wanted to do, is just like encourage fun and that playfulness.
What was the theme with the 80s power lunch? How was that connected?
I think it's like explore in your dress up. Like, it doesn't have to be directly connected to
the theme. Yeah, that's what I think is quite cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Is how you interpret it.
Yeah.
So the theme is out of place. Tell us about some of the events that fit particularly into that theme that you're excited about.
Yeah, so when we come up with a theme, and we like to kind of keep it pretty vague, so there's like loads of ways of interpreting it. And with out of place, you know, it was kind of, for me, it was like, this thing is not like the other. But I guess maybe in the world that we live in now, a lot of the events have a theme around, you know, like, yo, you can't travel, let's bring, you know, this cuisine to you, or that sort of thing. So there's some really great events. I absolutely adore so World, the brand, they have an amazing perfumier called Benny, and he's an amazing storyteller, and he does, so they're doing World around the world, and so it's a food, cocktail and perfume pairing.
Cool.
And it's just so magic, because just bringing in this kind of, it's a whole sort of sensory thing. And then Benny, he's such an amazing storyteller, and yeah, so it'll kind of go around the sort of, literally around the world.
I was really skeptical of this idea, and then I got to experience it at the launch event for 2021 Visa Wellington on a Plate. And it just makes sense once you get into it. Like, the way that it taps into all your senses and the storytelling idea of food, and it worked so incredibly well to have, a perfume, that idea of scent associated with food. But Benny really seals it. He's a yarn god.
Yes.
He tells those stories so, so well.
But that's so, you know, I personally think that food, you know, food tastes better when you know the story behind it.
100%.
And even knowing the people behind it, I just think if you know that this food that you're eating, or that the money that you're going to spend on that goes to like awesome, good people, I just think it tastes.
I think it's so interesting how many times I'm reminded that food is such a mood. You know, you can eat the same thing on two different days and it can taste different and it can feel different.
Yeah.
And I'd rather eat something that's got a really great story. It would make it taste better than if, you know, it was served in its most perfect way the next day with no story accompanied. It's so interesting how your brain's so relevant to the experience that you have.
Totally. And Alice, you'd know that, you know, everyone asks about beer. Yeah. You know, everyone's like, what's your favourite beer? It's just like, depends how I'm feeling.
It's like choosing
or what
your favourite child.
Doing.
It's impossible. Yeah. Particularly excited about, I won't get to go because I'm not going to be in Wellington at that point, but Shepherd at Sea, because I have a lot of a lot of unfortunate memories of travelling on the Inter-Islander ferry as a child.
So explain it a little
sick.
Bit, Alice.
It is Shepherd, the great restaurant whose chef owner is Shepherd Elliott, and it is kind of, it's on the Inter-Islander ferry, and it's like the golden age of travel. Is that the theme? Yeah, Beth, you?
Yeah.
Like if you can't go on a cruise, go on the Inter-Islander.
Oh my God.
So I just think this is what's magic about the festival. It's just like, so I want to get, like, you can get those like ship apps and things or following, you know, like, or like flight apps and stuff. Like you'll be able to see this, the Inter-Islander just doing laps around the Wellington Harbour. I just think it will be so funny. So one night only, 200 people, they've pretty much sold most of the tickets. I think there's 10 tickets left. And everyone will just be like dressed to the absolute nines going on to the Inter-Islander. It's going to be cocktails to start, I think a four-course meal, and then you're like dessert canapes and things. And you're on the Inter-Islander.
Classic.
And they like, too. And the Inter-Islander are so just, they're just so thrilled and so excited about it. And, you know, and again, this is just what always blows me away is just how excited everyone gets, but also just how above and beyond people go, and really just how August is this excuse for hospitality and other people getting involved to just do something a bit random and just give it a go. And I feel like I hope that this event will be one of these legacy events that will happen every single year.
I hope so.
Can I ask a kind of bizzo boring question? How does it, like, the financial planning of Wellington on a Plate must be outrageously complicated? Or is it that each individual event has to kind of pay for itself in terms of you determine the ticket price once you know how much it's going to cost?
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Yeah. We don't take any ticket sales or anything. So it's all just, on them. But what we've done in the last few years is, because that's also, you know, like that is hard, and particularly for these types of events where, people don't understand events.
It's a huge amount that goes into it. But I guess you're providing the head office staff and the marketing like arm to it, so there's a leg up from you guys, but it's still brave, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I get asked continually if my job is a full-time job, or Birvana's 2 days a year, you know, and people don't understand that it takes a whole year to put these things
on. Is it usually dudes who ask you?
I don't know. I mean,
white, pale, stale male.
My wife often gets asked, like, what's the job that accompanies her floristry hobby?
Oh, wow.
Good. But on that, so we have now created with Visa a grant, so an event grant. And so what that's meant is it just takes the risk out of some of the type of programming that we want to see, which is these risk-taking kind of out there just once-in-a-lifetime events. And that has been phenomenal. I mean, the events that we've got this year that fall into that got the grant. There's this amazing, have you heard of Hugo Girl?
Yep.
No.
So George is a drag queen here in Wellington and just an amazing, like, runs sort of drag and burlesque shows. So he's pairing with Jackie at Lashings and they're doing a sex and food burlesque dining event.
Awesome.
That sounds cool.
And I just think it's just going to be so hilarious. And, yeah, already hearing about they've got, like, a local potter to create these, like, suggestive plates that you will have to lick the...
Oh, I love
like,
it.
Lick wow. clean if you... If you catch me.
See, drink. I've never been able to get through the barrier of putting food and sex together. I've struggled.
Yeah,
food
I'm
and, food
and
Do you mean
drink?
Like you're not into
Sorry,
chocolate
sex,
body paint?
Exactly.
Right.
Sex and drink works, but not sex and food. So I'm keen to go to that event to be convinced otherwise.
Like right, maybe right
this sounds like a separate.
Do you think that
separate podcast?
Like that sounds like it's more of an entertainment event. It's not like an actual strip club. Like you're not going to be turned on in the audience, probably.
I don't
have
know.
A pie while having sex.
Well,
isn't there a Seinfeld episode about that? And it's like George is eating a sandwich while I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, and also it is quite interesting that I don't know. I think some people are just more sensual about things than others.
I don't like the whole like. Yeah, like ooh, that dish is so sexy.
The cleaner.
But what about someone feeding someone, like, a strawberry? I'm like, that's such an awkward thing for two grown people to do, but people love it.
Not my bag, but each to their own.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So I encourage all listeners to get into the program as soon as they can because stuff is selling out. The two things that I was really interested in attending is already gone. The pickling class. I really wanted to do a pickling class and I wanted to go to Nico's famous scone baking class to heckle them, tell everyone that scones suck.
It's Pravda scone making class, but...
Scones are the worst.
You are no honorary Wellingtonian if you don't
like
cheese.
That's what I've told him many times.
Yeah, we've actually had a whole podcast about that, Simon. Let's not bring it up again.
I can't not bring it up enough.
Hang on. So have we already missed out on the events that are either side of our one?
Well, no, there are so many
heaps
events.
On
I could get on there too.
And heaps of free ones. So there's that's the beautiful thing is you can pay to have this amazing experience on the Inter-Islander with Shep. Or you can just roll up to an incredible free podcast on Sunday the 15th of August at Parrot Dogs Lyle Bay Brewery and have, you know, probably the smartest conversation you could have about food.
And some delicious Parrot Dog beers.
And delicious food
delicious.
Too.
Delicious. That's actually, I mean, one of my favourite parts of the festival is the pop-up section. And it's just because when... In hospitality, if you're running a restaurant, when can you just like completely transform your restaurant and just try something new or just do something, you know, just completely change it up, you know, for your, you know, it's super fun for the staff and.
Yeah, good for morale.
Yeah.
Like a bit of a boost and a change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so cool. And the things that happen every year, I mean, so. I just love, so Field and Green, they are doing this series, so it's the third one in the series. Laura Greenfield, the chef there, she's from the UK and Jewish, and so now every year they're sort of exploring this like Jewish diaspora across the world. So they started in...
Rome.
There's like Rome, yeah, Roman Jewish food, and then did Brick Lane last year. And now this year it's Barcelonica, so Greece, so Grecian Jewish food. So interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. That sounds delicious.
Can you go on your website, can you go search by date and just see what's up and then just book I'm just going to book everything on either side of our...
The filters
are
incredible.
You've got to get into it quickly though.
We're talking about how...
Thank you. Thank
many
you,
more
Simon.
Filters are required on a lot of those sites. Like if... if not encyclopedias, but if directories were doing their job better, don't you think the filters would have evolved a bit more? Like, we were looking at Hobart accommodation, and it's like, I'm willing to pay more for something that's really nice, but I'd rather say somewhere that's small and cheap if it's cuter and better taste or whatever. And Trina, that was sitting at the table with us, was like, what if you could filter by chicness? Yeah. Like, imagine what you could do with filters. It'd be hilarious.
Do you know, in the application form, like, so we build it every year, and then for burgers, we had one. It was like, is your burger name a pun? You know, and it was just like yes or no. And we were gonna have that as like as a filter, but we didn't. But what was funny is that because every year people pull down, like, they just kind of tap into the API and then just pull down all the information for a spreadsheet, and it's very, people have gone crazy.
Whoa, do they?
Oh, mate, don't get me started. The spreadsheets, the intenseness of it around burger is nuts. Incredible.
And the boomer's just going wild with the highlighters, like my mum with the Writers' Festival. She's got to get, like, two programs going so she can, like, have that page open but also read that one at the same time.
Burger feels very
Burgers
millennial.
It's millennial and Zoomer, yeah.
People would really try as hard as they can to, like, knock off a large chunk of the burger menu.
Oh yeah, it's wild.
Do we have an official stat on the most burgers eaten during the month of August?
Oh my god! Last year, a guy he was supposed to be traveling. I think he was supposed to be going overseas or something, and so he took 2 weeks off, and he ate 19
wow.
days.
That's too many burgers for anyone.
That's more than four and burgers a day.
Yeah, that is maths, and that is correct. Yeah, what was really cool, though, is because there's a Facebook group, a Burger Wellington Facebook group, which I just read and watch from afar, and I love it so much. And he just ended up being a moderator on that, and he would just post every single burger that he ate and, you know, like, gave his little review and things. And, I mean, ones that he liked would just transform, like, everyone would just, like, flock to those places.
Niche, like, on that burger influencer moment for him. Love that.
Mate, do you know that so many of the influencers and, like, the food influencers in Wellington, pretty much most of them have come about through Wellington.
Yeah. Right? I prefer it that way, that they have something to do with food.
Yeah,
and they know a little bit about food and what they're talking about. I think that makes great sense. What a good launching pad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Beth, we're really grateful for your time, especially given your circumstance, although I guess you don't have much else to do at 9 o'clock in the morning in Hobart.
Other than plan a festival.
My honeymoon when I was in mostly in Bologna, I put on 11 kgs in 3 weeks. Hobart's another incredible food city. How is your, eating 4 to 5 times a day going?
Can I get some hot tips?
No. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I will send you, I've got a Google map with
brilliant.
All my hot tips. I'll send
Thank
it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. But, the eating has slowed down since I'm actually just kind of have to live here now.
It's interesting that shift in holiday to I'm actually a resident now.
You're like an unsupervised child okay, now I've got to be an adult again.
Yeah. It was, now I have to, I've been, even just been like cooking at home and those kind of things. But no, it's great, and gonna go to Templo today.
What's Templo?
And Templo is kind of modern Italian, I think.
Yes,
pretty much just everybody has recommended it to me. So there's a lot of kind of chef's choice, like chef's menus sort of thing. So that's today. What else are we gonna go? Oh, there's Sunny, which is a wine bar, and just like tiny little wine bar, great food, great wine.
Well, it sounds like you've really landed on your feet, But we do wish you luck in your return to New Zealand, hopefully in time for the festival's launch in August.
Don't say that. I really, really want to get on that plane on Thursday.
We're so grateful for your support and for you having us along as part of the official program. And we just love to support Visa Wellington on a plate and really looking forward to this year's festival.
Oh, well, really looking forward to seeing you all down there.
Beth. Can't wait. Thanks for having us too. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Good luck getting home. Hopefully we see you soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
And thanks to our new podcast engineer, Te Aihe Butler.
Woohoo!
Ooh, first dietary requirements.
Very exciting to have an official engineer in the house.
Mm. We're all growing up.
It's very, very exciting. New level of professionalism at the old spinoff.co.nz, the podcast network.
I wonder if the notes are going to start coming through a bit earlier than 5 minutes before recording now.
Well, this came through yesterday.
Yeah, no, this was good.
Although it did get postponed, so that did give you more time to prepare. Big shout out to Has Beats on the theme music, to the members for making the spin-off happen. Like, share and subscribe. Definitely get your ass to Wellington for the month of August and go to as many events as you can. The local hospitality industry needs your support. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Bon voyage, Beth. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, for lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.